that was interesting, wasn't it? Nice to see one of the greatest lying prime ministers that we've ever had showing his face on our video tonight. But before I call him any more names, let's just pray and ask for God's help. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you would speak to us this evening through your living and active word. Lord God Almighty, we recognize, Lord God, that it's your word, Lord, that is the sure foundation upon which we should build our lives. It's not my opinions, it's not my views, it's not the opinions or views of other people, Lord God, that are a sure foundation. It's your word that abides forever. So help us, Lord God, to hear your word, help us to understand your word, and help us to apply your word, please, so that we can build upon its sure foundation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what in this broken world's happening? Last week, we looked at the subject, where is the love? And we heard this song being played last week in video. We seem to be getting into videos at the minute. Where is the love was played last week. And these days there seems to be, I don't know if you've noticed, but there seems to be a lot of hate and hostility about everywhere you go. So much so that we now have this hate crime epidemic. I mean, everything that goes wrong now, they're looking to say, oh, could this possibly be a hate crime? Let's label it as a hate crime. You throw an apple core, you know, by accident, just getting rid of it, and it happens to hit somebody on the head, you know, before you know it, they're saying, well, are they wearing a turban, and is there any chance that it was a racist attack? It's a hate crime. You know, hello, I threw an apple core by mistake onto the grass thinking it was biodegradable and it was going to just disappear. Hate crime is any offence against another that is considered by them to be motivated by hate for the person's race, religion, sexual orientation, or disability. So I had someone saying to me recently, how can you as a pastor fly a Union flag and an Ulster flag from your house? Surely that's a sign of sectarianism. I said, actually, it's a sign of my country, and it's not sectarian at all. It's I'm happy as a Protestant to celebrate my culture. But they could have been committing a hate crime by daring to say that, whereas they were saying, I was committing a hate crime. It just depends on how we feel at the time. A hate crime is any offence against another person that is considered by them to be motivated by hate for the person's race, religion, sexual orientation, or disability. And from the parable we saw last week of the Good Samaritan, Jesus taught that we all have a responsibility. We all have a responsibility to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. And we have a responsibility to love our neighbour as ourselves, and our neighbour being anyone who needs our help. It'd be interesting, I don't want to say it now, but it'd be interesting to see, was there an opportunity this week or the past week for anybody here to show love to their neighbour? Our neighbour is anyone who needs our help. However, it seems society is becoming more decadent and darker with sin and corruption. And we have to ask, where is the salt and the light? Where is the love? As our talk said last week, Christians are called to be salt and light, to help preserve and stop the corruption of society and to bring light into the darkness of the world. If it's in our power to help our neighbour, whoever that may be, in spite of the circumstances, if it's in our power to help and we fail to do so, have we committed a hate crime in the eyes of the Lord, who might very well ask, where is the love? Well, I'm sure you've noticed by now that the video that we watched was the 1997, it's not long ago, it was the 1997 Labour Party political broadcast. Now, I'm not a Labour voter, as anybody you could imagine. I wouldn't vote Labour under any circumstances. But it was the Labour Party political broadcast, Things Can Only Get Better. And the guy who actually wrote the song is from Londonderry. Things Can Only Get Better. So think about this, 1997, the Labour Party political broadcast, Things Can Only Get Better, and what happens? Over 13.5 million people were duped into believing that things could only get better. But it didn't get any better. Is anybody here any better off since 1997, when we all believed that things were going to get better? A year later, 676,000 966 people in Northern Ireland voted yes for the Belfast or Good Friday Agreement, also hoping things can only get better. Well, I voted no. Typical, you can imagine, because I'm always opposed to things. I voted no, and I would still vote no. But 676,966 people in Northern Ireland voted yes, believing that things can only get better. Now, jump forward 18 years, and 18 years later, and 17,410,742 people voted to leave the European Union with the same optimism that things can only get better. I voted get out. I get out of Europe in an instant, and I would give them no money whatsoever. In fact, I would make them pay us money. You see, it seems people are always looking for change. Politically, it doesn't matter what your political views are, and my political views are mine, you know what I mean, and I'm having a laugh here with you as well, but people always seem to be looking for change. They're wanting things to get better. People always are wanting things to get better. In light of that, let's listen to what Jesus has to say in Matthew chapter 24. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'll read the first 14 verses. Jesus and his disciples are on the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Now, they're on the Mount of Olives at this point. They come out of the old city of Jerusalem. They crossed the Kidron Valley, and they were just going through the Garden of Gethsemane onto the Mount of Olives. And this is what happens. Verse 2. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." I want you to think about this evening. If you had to categorize yourself, if you had to put a particular label here on yourself, which would you consider yourself to be of these three? A few weeks ago, you had 9 to choose from. The week after that, you had 6 to choose from. Tonight, you've only 3. We've made it easy for you. Which of these three is you? The optimist, the pessimist, or the realist? Now, if you're not so sure about what that is, let me explain. A child psychologist had twin boys. One of his boys was an optimist and the other a pessimist. And just to see what would happen on Christmas Day, he loaded the pessimist's room with toys and games. And in the optimist's room, he dumped a pile of horse manure. And that morning, the father found the pessimist surrounded by all of his gifts, crying. And his daddy said, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong?" He says, "I have a ton of game manuals to read. I need batteries, and my toys will all eventually get broken. And he cried and he cried and he cried. Passing the optimist's room, the father found him dancing for joy around the pile of horse manure. And his dad said, "Why are you so happy?" he asked. And the optimist shouted, "Well, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere." If you're still not sure, a pessimist and an optimist, they fall off a 100-story building. The pessimist was heard screaming and cursing as he passed the 20th floor towards the ground. And as the optimist fell past, he quietly whispered, "So far, so good." And again, in a dark alley one night, Johnny the optimist was beaten half to life. So you get an idea of what's going on. And my topic this evening is, what in this broken world is happening? Things can't only get better. Things can't only get better. Now, the optimist assures us that things can only get better. The pessimist believes that things are only going to get worse. And the realist looks for the middle ground to find what opportunities there are. So are you tonight an optimist, a pessimist, or a realist? An optimist says the glass is half full. The pessimist says the glass is half empty. The realist says, "While you were arguing about it, I drank what was in it." So do you think, as far as this broken world is concerned, do you think that things are going to get better? Do you think things can't only get better? Do you think it's all gone badly wrong? It's all gone pear-shaped? Or do you try to find the middle ground and look for the opportunities presented and take them? See, in his conversation with his disciples as they sat on the Mount of Olives, Jesus didn't sound too optimistic. When you read those 14 verses, he didn't sound too optimistic about this broken world. There's no reference in those 14 verses. In fact, there is no reference whatsoever in the entire chapter to things can only get better in this world. Now, Jesus is God in the flesh, and there's no optimism on Jesus' part in that chapter for anything to do with this world. Jesus speaks of false Christs deceiving many. And you know, we think false Christs are these people with long flowing hair wearing white robes running through Bangor saying, "I'm Jesus, I'm Jesus," and some head cases following after them. That's not what he's talking about. False Christs are false Jesuses, others who preach a different Jesus than the Jesus revealed to us in the Bible. And so you don't have to go too far to find that there are false Christs even near this fellowship, where they preach a different Christ to the Christ that's preached in the gospel. There are many false Christs, and these false Christs are deceiving many people. Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars. I took the 36th Division's Psalm commemoration in Newton Arch just a few weeks ago, and that was to commemorate men who died in World War I. But after that, we thought that was going to be the war to end all wars, and then after that we had World War II, and then we've had all of the other wars and conflicts and the troubles in Northern Ireland. And Jesus told us that we would have wars and rumors of wars. He told us that nation would rise against nation, that there would be famines, that there would be pestilences, that there would be earthquakes. And he tells his disciples that these things, all of these terrible, terrible things that we would see, he tells us, wait for the optimism here, this is just the beginning of sorrows. No optimism whatsoever. This is just the beginning of sorrows. Can you hear any optimism in what Jesus is saying concerning this world? Well, of course, the pessimists will respond, "We knew it. We knew it. Things are only going to get worse." While the realists are thinking, I wonder if I could make the most out of this situation. This world is broken. Who really believes things can only get better? You see, there is within the collective body, if you want to call it, of the church, there are a few headbends who believe that the world is going to get better before Jesus returns. It's a form of kingdom theology, that the kingdom of God will grow and grow and grow, and because it will grow and grow and grow, it will influence all of the nations of the earth and things will get better. But that is not my reading of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24. I'm not a kingdom theology person. I believe that things are going to get worse. This world is broken. Do you really believe things can only get better? People become disillusioned with how things are, and they seek to bring about change. I have no problem with people trying to bring about change if change is for the good, be it through general elections, be it through local elections, be it through peace processes or withdrawal from Europe. All of these point to a deep desire inside people for change. During the build-up, I don't know if you remember, but during the build-up to the Belfast or Good Friday Agreement, one advertising campaign used lyrics from a Van Morrison song. Wouldn't it be great if it was like this all the time? Have you ever heard it? It's from Coney Island. And you'd nearly swear he was still washing windies when he's doing shouting it in through somebody's window. Hey, wouldn't it be great if it was like this all the time? It's the one line in the song that just really annoys me, because Van Morrison is like another Seamus Heaney to me. I think the lyrics of Van Morrison's songs are beautiful, beautiful poetry. But that one winds me up. Here, wouldn't that be great if it was like this all the time? Like what? I ask. Wouldn't it be great if it was like this all the time? Like what? The Troubles claimed many lives and left many victims on both sides of the divide. And the orange and the green division in our country hasn't improved one iota in all of that time. More people have committed suicide since the signing of the Belfast and Good Friday Agreement than all of the people who were killed during the Troubles. Wouldn't it be great if it was like this all the time? Like what? I ask. If there really was a genuine peace process that worked for everyone, I thought that's what we had. Wouldn't it be great if it was like this all the time? Like what? If there really was the decommissioning of paramilitary weapons, if they really were put away for good. But I thought that had happened. If victims really got the justice that they longed for regarding their loved ones, they're waiting still, whether it be the victims of the Troubles or the victims of historical institutional abuse, whatever it might be, victims are being treated like second-class citizens. They're not being given the justice that they so rightly deserve. Wouldn't it be great if it was like this all the time? Like what? I ask. But things could only get better. Perhaps things will get better if our MLAs would get off their backsides and overcome their differences and go and work together for the good of this country instead of taking free handouts and doing no work. Now you're saying, oh, but you're getting political, but wouldn't it be great if it was like this all the time? Perhaps things will get better if or when we actually leave the European Union. Perhaps things will get better if we just have another general election. Seriously, who really believes this broken world is going to get any better? I don't. That doesn't mean that you can't make improvement in people's lives. That doesn't mean that we can't try to help people to make a difference for good in people's lives. But don't fool yourself into thinking that the world is going to get better. You see, whichever category you think fits you best, be it optimist, pessimist, or realist, The interesting thing about these three is they have all learned to coexist. They have all learned to coexist. Someone said, optimists keep everyone motivated. Things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. So you've got that wee drive to try to make things better. Pessimists keep everyone improving. Oh, things are going to get worse, but we could try to make a difference. And realists keep everybody balanced. They've learned to coexist. But no matter how optimistic, pessimistic, or realist you think you are, what Jesus tells us about this broken world is things cannot only get better. In fact, things are going to get worse, much worse, before the end comes. But thanks be to God, Jesus doesn't leave us to wallow in a hopeless situation. The very reason that Jesus came into this broken world was to provide a means of rescue, a means of salvation from it. He would go to the cross and he would die to pay the price for our sin and to save those who will trust in him. Jesus knows that this world is broken. He knows that it is broken by sin, and he knows that it is heading to destruction. Its decadence, its decay, and its darkness will come to an end when he suddenly returns to gather those that are his and destroy the world as we know it. You see, it seems people are always looking for change, always wanting things to get better. And of course, as I said, we should all do what we can to make a difference for good in our world and for other people. But if we're honest, we know there's a deep desire within us for change. And that desire is the part of us that knows things aren't going to get better in this broken world. We need to listen to it and we need to act upon it. If we truly want to change, if we truly want to see change and know with certainty things can only get better, then we need to listen to what Jesus says. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Be ready, Jesus said, because his return will happen so suddenly at an hour that you do not expect. And you could be left behind. Don't look to this broken world to make things better for you. It can't. Look to Jesus, who came to rescue you from this broken world, to bring you into his everlasting kingdom. To be ready for the return of Jesus, you must repent of your sins, turn away from them, and trust in Jesus and in him alone to save you. Only Jesus can truly make things better, because he alone promises those who trust in him there is a better world to come. Will you be an optimist about what Jesus has to say regarding this broken world and what is to become of it? Or will you remain a pessimist and focus only on the negative aspects of what Jesus says? My advice to you tonight is be a realist and take action while the opportunity exists and do something about it. Optimist, pessimist, realist. The born again Christian is the only person who fits all three types, because they are optimistic about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are pessimistic about the state of this broken world and how it's going to get worse. But they're realist enough to have used the opportunity to do something about it. And they've put their trust in Jesus. What about you? Are you an optimist, a pessimist, or a realist? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, we thank you for your word. Lord, of course, there's nothing wrong with the desire for change, wanting to make things better. Lord, if we seriously think, in light of what you have said, that we can make this world a better place, we can't. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse, Lord, before you return. But thank you that you have provided a means of salvation, that those who trust in Jesus are saved from the coming judgment that will bring this world to a close, but will usher in the new world to come. And those who have trusted in Jesus, and only those who have trusted in Jesus, will enter into that new world. And surely then, Lord God, that is a case of things can only get better. Lord, we ask tonight, please, that for us who know you and love you, that you would help us to try to make a difference for good in other people's lives, to try, Lord God, to bring about changes that can benefit people, but not to fool ourselves into thinking, Lord God, that we can make the world as a whole a better place. Help us to remember, Lord God, that we are only pilgrims on this earth. We're traveling to a new world to come, and we will enter it only through Jesus. May we be witnesses to those around about us who think that this world is the best place, and help them to see, Lord God, it's heading to destruction, and that they too are heading to destruction unless they repent and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to demonstrate your love by sharing that good news of Jesus to them, so that they too, Lord God, might be saved. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.